First of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you for letting me come, and thank you for letting me speak. I always do enjoy this, and just getting a little bit of time to bring the Word of God to some of His people. So I want to thank you for that. On the way over here, I was thinking this is my third time speaking on a Wednesday night, and I was trying to figure out if it's third time's a charm or three strikes you're out. I couldn't nail it down. I guess we'll find out by the end. But let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord, to first and foremost pray and to bring our needs to your attention, Lord. I know that you know our needs, but you also ask us to pray and to bring things before your feet, Lord. Lord, I ask that you be with us tonight. Help us to for at least these 15 minutes, just be attentive and be listening. Lord, I'm talking to myself as well here. Lord, help us to be attentive to what the Word has to say, Lord. I know that there's many distractions that we could begin to think about, but for at least these 15 minutes, Lord, let's think about what the Word has to say. It's in your name I pray. Amen. It's really cool. I've been studying this for about a month now, I sit here and I hear your prayer requests and I hear your prayers, and I think that tonight it's going to be very applicable to kind of the theme that I've been hearing with the church growth and so many people in need of salvation who are close to us and that we know, and as Mr. Tim was saying, you know, even in his classroom, we have many Sunday school teachers here who week after week bring forth the gospel and show God's power through that. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight. If I had to give a heading for this, I don't consider this to be a sermon or anything, but more of just a reminder. But if I had to have a heading, it would be, do you have a proper perspective of the gospel? Do you have a proper perspective of the gospel? So if you would, please open with me to Romans 1. Romans 1. If you have your Bible, or if you have the Bible app, I think that works as well. Romans 1. Romans 1:16. And a lot of commentators, they'll say that verses 16 and 17 are kind of the direction that Paul is taking when he's writing the book or the letter Romans. We're going to be just looking at 16 now. I'm reading out of the Holman Christian Standard Version. And it reads like this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and also to the Greeks." I'm going to read that one more time. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power for salvation. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and also to the Greeks." This is a wonderful, wonderful verse, and it displays that Paul indeed has a proper perspective of the gospel. And he makes a very bold assertion that he is not ashamed of the gospel. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." And that's pretty substantial if you think about it. Because I don't know if you know much about the life of Paul. I mean, I think I'm in pretty good company. I think you guys have studied more than I have, honestly. And the life of Paul, he struggles all the way through. I was reading John MacArthur's Bible commentary, and he says in it, he says, "Paul has been imprisoned in Philippi, chased out of Thessalonica, smuggled out of Berea, laughed at in Athens, regarded as a fool in Corinth, and stoned in Galatia. But he remained eager to preach the gospel in Rome, the seat of contemporary political power and pagan religion. Neither ridicule, criticism, nor physical persecution could curb his boldness." And that's to the T. That's exactly what Paul has experienced. And yet he comes he comes to Rome, when he's writing Romans, and he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." I'll be honest. If I was Paul, I'd start looking at the gospel and I'd start feeling like, you know, it's kind of that friend that you kind of hang out with, and when you do, it kind of makes the situation a little bit tougher. I don't know if you guys have that. I know I do. I'm actually engaged to her. But the situation, it just seems like it gets tough every single time, Paul professes the gospel. But how on earth is he able to come here and say that I am not ashamed of the gospel? And I would say that the reason for that is because he has a proper perspective of what the gospel is. And he goes and says it. He says, because it is the power of God for salvation. And that is his focus. That is his focus. He understands that it is the power of God. It is the power of God. I look around and I see a lot of people who are very strong in the Lord and are walking Christian lives. And that's an encouragement for me. But I think I would be safe to say that everyone in here at one time or another has missed an opportunity to share the gospel with someone. I know that I have, whether that be because you were afraid, whether that be because you felt insignificant, or whether that was because you were ashamed. I would assume that, and I think that I would be right to assume that. It started to make me think. While I was studying, I started thinking of a time when I was younger. I went to Mountaintop, and I went there for a lot of years. And one year, you come back from Mountaintop, and you're on this mountaintop high, and you want to share the gospel with just about anybody and everybody. And that was kind of the feeling that I had. And I remember my dad picked me up, and we went. We were heading back to my house, but we had to stop by his drapery shop. Him and my mamaw, they ran a drapery shop for a number of years, and we stopped there. And when we pulled up, there were two gentlemen standing outside of the drapery shop, and I felt compelled, I felt the urge inside of me to share the gospel. And of course, when I was younger, I was very shy, believe it or not. And so when I arrived there, I wasn't going to go out and talk to him, but I knew inside of our drapery shop we had a little bitty basket. It was like woven, I guess wicker, I don't know. And it had these tracks in it. And I was like, okay, I'll go inside, I'll get two tracks, and I'll take them back out. And my dad, he was out there talking to these gentlemen. And so I went, I picked two that I liked, put them in my pocket, and I walked outside and I stood beside my dad. And I stood there. And I stood there. And I stood there. And, the conversation kind of dies down and the two gentlemen walk away and me and my dad walk back inside. And those tracks stayed in my pocket. And I went inside and I put them back in that basket. And I felt so ashamed. And I felt so beaten down. And I said, I couldn't believe it, that here I am. I was just on this huge mountaintop high, and I was strong for the gospel, and yet I couldn't even hand two tracks. And so that definitely stuck with me, and even sticks to me this day. And I'm sure that we all have those stories, and for whatever reason we find a reason to be ashamed or timid to that. But we don't see that in Romans. We don't see that with Paul when he says, "I'm not ashamed." He's firmly proclaiming it. Now, I would venture to say that that Paul is looking at one aspect of the gospel. And I think it's the right aspect and it's the right perspective. But I think that there's another that we get caught up in often, and he talks about it in 1 Corinthians 18, or 1 Corinthians 1:18. So if we could turn there, 1 Corinthians 1:18, this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time. Now, I would love to spend a lot of time talking about how the situation that Corinth was in, and Paul calls these believers saints, but their actions were nothing like that. They did not walk a Christian life. But you know, not only Paul, but Christ calls them saints. And here in verse 18, it says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to us who are being saved." And so we see that phrase again, the power of God. And so now we're starting to see that, you know, in Romans 1:16, we see that Paul has got this purpose-driven, one focus, it is the power of God. But here we see that in Corinth, he was noticing that to some it's the foolishness of God, and to some it's the power of God. And that's kind of what the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, is kind of geared towards, is that division. And so we see that here again. And I think that this is an encouragement as well as a reminder that, you know, the gospel, Paul affirms that to some it is foolishness. To some it is foolishness, and to some, you know, you bring it up and they look at you kind of funny. And I think that scares us. That's why we're afraid. That's why we're timid. That's why we feel inadequate. It's because we're bringing a message that is foolishness by the world's understanding. And I feel like our focus sometimes gets set on that. And that's why, just like I was that one day, that's why we hold back. And that's why we forget that it is the power of God. We get so consumed in the fact that it's the foolishness of mankind that we forget that it's the power of God. I would encourage you guys to look at 1 Corinthians more in just this chapter and how wonderful it is. So when we come to verse 18, we see Paul is making notice of the division in the gospel, how the gospel is being responded to. I mentioned that this was going to be very applicable for myself. I'm preaching to myself, and we all have either positions in our lives, or we all have people in our lives. As was mentioned through our prayer request, that there are people out there who look at the gospel as foolishness, and it's hard to continue to preach the gospel to someone who looks at it as foolishness. But just as Paul went through so many adversities to share the gospel, we too need to keep that same focus that Paul had in Romans 1:16, and really drive the fact that it is the power of God. I can stand up here and firmly say that I have never saved anyone. I've led people to the Lord, but it was the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's where the power lies, and that's where our focus needs to be. I would like to close with the words of Charles Spurgeon. He says in this paragraph, he says, "The gospel is preached in the ears of all men. It only comes with power to some. The power that is in the gospel does not lie in eloquence of preachers. Otherwise, men would be converted. Men would be the converters of souls. Nor does it lie in the preacher's learning. Otherwise, it could consist in the wisdom of men. We might preach till our tongues rotted, till we should exhaust our lungs and die. But never a soul would be converted unless there was mysterious powers going with it. The Holy Ghost changing the will of men. Oh, sir. We might as well preach to stone walls as preach to humanity unless the Holy Ghost be with the words. To give it power to convert the souls." Listen, we might step back and we might fail to preach the gospel, But I think that the reason behind that is because we're putting the focus on the fact that it's seen as foolishness. Yes, it might be seen as foolishness, but to those who are being saved, to those who can be saved, and that's who we're preaching to, it's the power of God. And you look at your own testimony, I look at my own, and that's where it lies. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you so much for just this time to look into your word and to be enveloped in the gospel, Lord. There are so many testimonies here today, Lord, and each one of them is screaming out your power. There's nothing in ourselves that merits anything. Lord, it's you and it's your Holy Spirit convicting men. Lord, as we go and continue out this week, Lord, myself included, Lord, help us to remember the power of the gospel. Help us to be ones who don't focus on the aspect of it being taken as foolishness, but let us be the ones who understand that it is your power. Lord, and if we have anything to boast in, it's you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.